The Holy Gospel for this Reformation Sunday is taken from the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord. So as mentioned a couple of times, today is Reformation Sunday. And we know that the Reformation was a series of historical events that happened in the 1500s that led to many changes in church and society. But this morning I'm not going to give you a history lesson. We've talked about the Reformation before. What I want to talk about is Reformation now. We live in very interesting times. There's a sharp polarization in society today. Our political climate is deeply divided. People can be a little anxious about all that. I know that some friends and loved ones don't even speak to one another anymore, let alone talk about social issues or political things, because their views are so diametrically opposed. Now, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you know that this is true in your own lives? And I think that this polarization that we see in society today isn't just because the issues that we are facing are serious issues, but it's also because we struggle to manage the hostility we feel towards people who don't agree with us, towards those who have views that are different than ours. And when we disagree too often, we can't leave it at that. We'd rather offer some disparaging comments or troll one another's social media and put inflammatory memes or comments on them. You know, we've all heard that saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me," or "names will never hurt me." And we learn that little jingle as children, and yet even then, and even more so now, we know that that's not true. That words and names can be very hurtful. They have power. Power that can do damage and power that hurts. I mean, if you think about it, if someone that you care about told you that someone else is untrustworthy or egotistical, chances are really good you're going to interpret everything that that person says or does with that filter. And there's a term for that. It's called the primacy effect. Words and names do damage. And once information is out there, even if it's not true, it's hard to take that back. It's hard to correct it because that story is already out there. And those stories influence our perspective, and they can cause us to make assumptions that might not actually be true. Assumptions that can lead to distrust, and this distrust can lead to fear, and this fear can lead to anxiety. That anxiety can lead to polarization. So, well, what does this have to do with us? It has very much to do with us because it has to do with our words. What we say about one another really matters. The words we use about each other shape how we view one another. They shape how we view ourselves and who we are called to be and what we are called to do in this time, in this place. Although many, many, many good and godly things have happened this past year here at St. Mark, there's also been some conflict. Some people feel wrongly judged. Some feel unheard or unvalued or misunderstood. Some have felt unfairly critiqued. Others were even called hurtful names, ones that are difficult to correct. There were some assumptions, some distrust, some fear, and some anxiety. We name that and we confess that. As your pastors, Eric and I genuinely seek unity. Unity with you in our shared mission and ministry here at St. Mark. We care about you, and we wouldn't be here if we didn't. We've invited all of you to deeper conversation, and we still do. That invitation is ongoing, and our doors are always open, and our hearts are always listening, because we seek to be faithful with you. So this week, quite a few people entered through those open doors. We listened to a variety of concerns about things that are going on in your personal or family lives. We listened to differing thoughts and opinions about ministry here at St. Mark. And views about that, I can honestly say, span the whole spectrum of what we should and shouldn't be doing. Several things struck me about these conversations. First, these sorts of honest, truthful conversations are crucial. We have to have these conversations. Second, listening is not an easy thing to do. By Thursday afternoon, my head hurt. Listening is hard work. It's physically, emotionally, spiritually hard work. Third, behind all these differing thoughts and opinions about our ministry is not just a nostalgia for the past, but a deep passion, a sincere passion for the church today, a passion for the church of the future. A passion for the church that lives in this time and this place. And this is good. This is actually very, very good. The Spirit is at work, inspiring us to be passionate and compassionate. This is good. Managing passion isn't always easy, but passion is good. Fourth, we need each other. Sorry if you thought otherwise. We need each other. If we're to figure out who we are as the body of Christ in this time and this place, we need each other to communicate openly and honestly, truthfully, and even more important, to listen to each other. And let me be clear about that. Not just listening to know how we want to respond, but listening so that we understand each other. Because I believe the difference between listening to understand and listening to respond is the difference between agreeing to disagree and division. How do we, as people of God, listen to each other? That's an important question because being the church, living as the body of Christ, means that we have made a commitment to each other. And that we're committing to do the hard, sometimes messy, sometimes frustrating, sometimes exhausting work of reconciliation. Because that important work of reconciliation leads to restoration and reformation. I want to be clear, though, that this reconciliation and this restoration and this reformation doesn't start with us. It originates with God, with the Holy Spirit moving in and through our lives. It begins for each of us when we're convicted by that Spirit and we fall on our knees to confess our own need for forgiveness and grace, to confess our need for God, to confess that we really do need each other, even those people with whom we sharply disagree. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. We all say and do things we wish we hadn't. And every single time, God meets us there, in that place, confessing and convicted. God meets us there with loving forgiveness and life-giving grace. Because God doesn't define us by our failures or our mistakes. We are never bound to the past. We're not slaves to the anxiety of the present, nor are we held captive by the fear of the future. The loving forgiveness and life-giving grace of God always meets us today, right here, right now. God meets us to set us free. Free because we are loved and forgiven. Free to get up off our knees and live out this love and this forgiveness and this grace in our lives. Because God's love, God's forgiveness, God's grace makes a difference. It makes a difference in who we are and how we are with one another, how we live together. As we live together, we're wise to remember that words and names do have power. They have the power to build up. They have the power to tear down. It's interesting because the word gossip has its roots in God siblings. Like, we are to hold one another as siblings of God, brothers and sisters in Christ, as the family of God. There's often a fine line between gossip and holding one another as siblings of God. The God that Martin Luther encountered in Scripture is a God he wanted the world to know about. Because this God is a God who desires to be in relationship with us. This is a God who desires us to be in relationship with one another, in loving and forgiving relationships with one another. And over and over and over again, God enters into our lives with love and forgiveness and grace so that we can too live that love and that forgiveness and that grace in our lives. So that we can live as brothers and sisters in Christ. So that we can live together as the family of God, as God siblings. The name that's given to us in baptism is the most important name that we will ever bear. And those words that are spoken over us are the most important words we will ever hear. They're life-changing words. You are a loved and forgiven child of God. So on this Reformation Day, we pray. We pray that the Holy Spirit would move in and through us, to reform us, to unite us, to unite us as the body of Christ, as we live out God's love and forgiveness in this time and in this place. Amen.